thankful to be here this morning. I do desire your prayers. I was sick this past week, so still feeling a little weak, I guess. My throat's a little weak. But I trust God that He can quicken this body. So the message that He's put on my heart can get out and find its lodging place this morning. You know, I'm always nervous to get up and preach. But it seems like when I'm getting up preaching something that really I'm preaching to myself, seems a lot of the times that's some of the harder things to preach. Because the fact is, us as men and women, one thing that we all hate doing is admitting that we were wrong in something in our life, or that we may not be perfect. And I don't like admitting that. I like trying to be the person that my little boys look at me and think I am. They look at me and see strength. They see a rock in their life and somebody they can count on and trust. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, if they knew who I was before I am like I am now, I'm still not perfect now. I'm very far from it. But they may not think so much of me, but I'm thankful there was a day in my life that, you know, God didn't erase my past, but He let my past turn into my testimony. And I learned some lessons from it that, you know, they may not know my past, and someday they might, but I'm able to teach them some things that I've been through. And I think that's why God lets us have a past. I think that's why God kind of lets us go out through life sometimes, and we gotta seek Him, Randy. The Bible says that He'll knock on our heart's door. But unless we open the door to that heart, He can't come in. And I think that reason is because there's got to be some things that we got to go through without Him, so that when we start facing the things with Him, we can see that He's brought us through it without Him. How much greater are we able to come through this thing with Him on our side? Amen. I look at my babies up here singing. I think about a father's love. And Brother Randy, I'd lay down my life for my babies, but I'm not sure that I could lay my baby's life down for you this morning. Yeah. I'm not sure, church, I love you this morning. I think a lot of you this morning, but I'm not sure that I can lay my baby's life down for you.
Bless the Lord.
But I know a man that could. And thank God to this day that was sufficient enough so that I don't ever have to worry about laying my sweet Isaac down. Amen. You know, if you look at yourself and how God sees us, God kind of looks at us as that perfect man inside. Our imperfections are made perfect by Jesus Christ. And thanks be unto God, I believe my boys most of the time look at that perfect man when they look upon me. But hey, I'm still just a man. I fail every week of my life. I try not to talk about the things that I mess up in, but we all mess up. You know, living life without God, you know, I was thinking, you know, we had our Wednesday night prayer meeting service last Wednesday, and I believe somebody read some scripture on all things work for the good.
You know, I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about my past and how I'm so ashamed of who I used to be. And there's times, church, that I'm still ashamed of things that I catch myself doing today. But that service we had, when we had that Wednesday night testimony service and they were reading on that scripture, I got to thinking about how, well, yeah, these things that I've been through in my life, I've learned lessons from them. I've looked back on them in times of trouble now, and I can see what the answer is, what I need to do, which way I need to go. My life that I lived before I had Jesus in my heart is the roadmap that I'm following with Jesus now, if you'd have it. I just want to be the man that I am. I strive to be. I don't want you to think that I'm not. I try to be. But we can chase perfection every day of our life and we're not going to meet it. There's been one perfect man in this world, and when this world ends, there'll still be only one perfect man that ever inhabited the earth. You know, sometimes I found myself thinking this week, maybe that's how God intends it to be. Because think about it, if we're always striving to be perfect, if we're always striving to do something, striving to be better, but we never reach that means we're always trying. But think about the things in life that we can reach the pinnacle on. Once you get there, a lot of times you find yourself lackadaisical, complacent, and lazy if you have it. But as long as we're striving, what Paul say? I keep pressing toward the mark. As long as we keep finding ourselves pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, we may not ever reach perfection, but we're always headed that way. Amen. They sung a song. I'm going to read in a minute, I promise. I don't get to choose how I preach when I get up here. You know, a lot of times I got a lot of thoughts running through my head down there on what I'm going to say, what the Lord wants me to say, how I ought to do this. And it never works out how Clint says it ought to work out. I always get up here and the Lord always takes me the way that I need to go. And I'm thankful for that, because without God, I can't do nothing this morning. They sung that song, Amazing Grace, and I leaned over and told Randy this morning, I said, you know that song, Amazing Grace, says, I was blind, but now I see. That's a beautiful song. We think of that song as a joyous, happy song. But you know, I was sitting here on the pew and I was listening to that, and when it said that verse about I was blind but now I see, yeah, church, it's a beautiful lyric. But guess what? When you're lost and undone and the Lord allows you to see for the first time, He allows you to see just who you are. And maybe it ain't that pretty. When I received my sight from the Lord before I come to ask Him to save my soul, I wasn't looking at a pretty picture, Randy. I was looking at something that was dark and dirty and foolish and just the worst part of this world you could see. But you know what God did? He allowed me to see that. He allowed me to see who I was. He allowed me to see Clint that Clint was trying to be. And if I tell you this, church, I'm being honest. If I wouldn't have come to repentance that day, I'd still be that same person. I might be able to see who I am because I reached the age of accountability. I may have known that I was doing wrong. I may try to get out of it on my own, but at the end of the day, without Jesus, I'd still be in the same boat. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read Joel chapter 2. I think I'm going to have to read the whole chapter. I just want to be what... I want to be what my little boys see, Randy. Because I'm here to believe this morning that same person my little boys see, that's who God knows I can be. Would you have that? Those little innocent hearts back there, they see a person that God knows is in there this morning. You know what? My wife might not be able to see me as the same person as them little innocent babies right now. You know why? Because they are still perfect without blemish this morning. They don't know. They see their daddy. They see their father. They see the one thing that is always there for them in their life. When I mess up, they don't think nothing of it. They just think, well, that's just part of it. I may get on to them. I may have to be mean to them from time to time to correct them, Randy. They may not like it. But you know what? If you'll go in there 5 or 10 minutes later, they'll rub in there and they'll hug your neck and they'll tell you that they love you. And that's the thing that I want to be all the time. I want to be the man that my babies see. You know how I can do that? I can keep chasing that perfect man. Joel chapter 2. The Bible says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind the flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Now I'm going to keep reading, but I want you to hear that verse again right here. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. And nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses and as horsemen. So shall they run like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains. Shall they leap like the noise of the flame of the fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, before their face the people shall much be pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent. and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, God, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savior shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore you to the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt with you wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in the days that I will pour out my spirit, I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered deliverance, as the Lord has said, and the remnant the Lord shall call. And I believe that's all I'm going to read today. And I guess if I had a thought this morning, it would be you can't run from your past, but you can learn from it. You know, I was thinking about my past. I was thinking about the past, even the not so distant past, when we was in church last week, and about all things working for the greater good. And I was thinking about some things that I still go through today that I may not understand, that I find myself just struggling to get through these things in my life, and I don't have any rhyme or reason why I'm in them other than the Lord put me there. But we heard that scripture read last Wednesday, and I started thinking, well, I guess that means that our past is going to be okay. You know what? And I watched a movie the other night with the boys. I was laying in bed and they were in there and they were just watching an old cartoon movie when I was a kid. And it might sound silly to you, but sometimes that's just how the Lord has to deal with me. He has to show me some things that may seem dumb to other people because they seem smart to me. Amen. God don't have to have some great big thing to make some great big thing. Would you have that? He ain't got to have the oak tree already up and rooted up 100 foot high. Them old oak trees start from just a little old acorn, and they grow into a great tree with deep roots that can withstand storms and wind and rain. We were watching this movie the other night, and you know the movie is The Lion King. One of these lions, I guess the son named Simba, he had a past. He didn't really quite understand his past. Ain't that where we find ourselves? I have a past. I can't really tell you right now why I did the things that I did. I can't really tell you right now that it was or it wasn't all my fault. But what I can tell you is the things that I faced and I went through in my past, I learned from those things, and they helped mold me into the man that God has set before you today. You know, that was probably one of my biggest things. When my eyes were open and I seen who I was, I still had to come ask God to save me. I had to open that door. He couldn't just kick it in. That was one of the hardest things, Randy, is overcoming my past. It was a shameful thing. I didn't think I was fit for nobody to have me, especially no church. Well, that's the thing about our past, right? Our past, whether it be the recent past, whether it be a past that was years and years ago, when we look back on those things and we ponder over those things and we have to explain those things to somebody, it ain't no fun. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it hurts. The past hurts sometimes. Would you have it? Think about the things you had when you got injured when you was a child. I bet every one of us in here can look down at our old feeble body somewhere and you'll find some type of scar that you can still see this morning. I got them. I'm talking about fleshly scars right now. I'll get over into the other scars in just a minute. I can look down and see where I've had surgeries. I can look down at my hands and remember the exact day that I thought it was smart to do something that turned out it wouldn't. It takes me back to times in my life. You know what? When I look down, I say to myself, I probably won't do nothing like that again. That's the fleshly scars that we can have in this world. We can still learn from them too. Would you have it? Sometimes you have to learn from the flesh. You know that? I know we're in the church house and we love the Spirit and we believe in the Spirit, but some of the best lessons that I've learned in my life, I've learned by looking back at the old fleshly man. And then I think about some other kind of scars. Some of the things that I might have done, some of the things I might have said to people, some of the times that I could have got what I needed, but I turned God away. Those are the scars that I look back on. You know what? I have scars on me ever since I've been saved in here. I made a promise to God that day I was going to change. You know what? I thought I could change, but I couldn't. But you know what happened? God changed me. This person you see before you right now, this is still the same person that was living in this world 15 years ago, church. The difference is that I'm not a singular person walking in this world no more. I have to have Jesus come in my heart and took up abode, and He walks with me daily now. I think about Joseph. He could have looked at his past. He could have let it bog him down. And I mean, if we look at it as fleshly men, he had every right to kind of just crawl in the corner and feel bad for himself. Give up. You know, that's a sad thing, church. There's a lot of people in this world today that look back on their life and things that's happened. You know what they do? They crawl in the corner and they give up. But you know what? I got a friend in Jesus. Let me tell you what He does when I get in that type of shape. I may still get over in that corner. I may be broken. I may be beat down. I may get in that corner and I may be ready to throw the towel in, and then I'll feel a little tap on my my shoulder, and just in the nick of time, there comes Jesus. Amen. God didn't change. You know what he didn't do? He didn't erase my past. It's still there. You know what my past is like? Think about it, church. I've got a black suit on today. I can take this suit and I can get it washed. I can hang it up in my closet and I can put it on like I did this morning. And each minute that passes by that I look down at it, there's another piece of lint showing up and everybody can see. That's kind of like our life without Jesus. We're this old black body, and every little piece of dirt and grime that shows up on it, no matter the size, the whole world can see. And you know what? The whole world will judge you today. That's what happens. I had another suit hanging by this one. It ain't been dry cleaned in a few weeks. It was real light tan. You know what? You couldn't see one piece of dirt. You couldn't see one little piece of lint on that almost white suit. You couldn't see nothing. Ain't that what God does for us? Don't the Bible tells us he washes us white as snow? He washes us white as snow, church. So he takes this old black suit of flesh off of us that shows our past that everybody can see. Our past may still be there, but it's a lot less visible to the world. I don't mean the stains and the dirt and the grime ain't there. They are. But you know what happens when you start living for God? All that dirt and grime and those stains that's on our heart, you know what that means? I'm talking about all the memories and all the thoughts that people have had about you your whole life. All those things, the longer you live with God, the brighter you get. And the brighter that you get this morning, church, a lot less people see. Would you have it? The closer you are to God, the less people know your mistakes. I'm not saying that you don't have them, but that's what God's here for. He changes us. The Bible says we turn into a brand new creature. Old things are passed away this morning, church. Thanks be unto God. There was a day that I was washed white as snow, and those little pieces of grime and dirt, the mistakes I made in my life slowly started disappearing. Amen. They do. They disappear. They'll disappear to all of you. A few years go down the line, they won't nobody remember nothing that I did. But I will. I can still get myself in that same old rut if I start looking back at them things that I did. If I start looking at who I really am without God, I can still get back in those same old ruts, those same old crevices that I was in when I was lost and undone. But the difference is y'all may not even notice it. You know, but there's a man named Jesus, and he knows all. I thought I had a lot of things hid from a lot of people, and I did. I hid a lot of things from a lot of people when I was lost and undone. And you know the scariest thing that day that my eyes got open? The scariest thing is because I knew that I was found out. I knew that I thought I had things hid, but the one that knows all knew he had always known. And there's a word for it in the Bible called tackle. Said I was weighed in the balances and found wanting. Amen. He don't erase our past. What I told you this morning, the past is scary. Our past can keep us from being who God wants us to be. Our past, y'all, if you're sitting here today and you don't know who God is, you find yourself lost and undone without God in your life. If you sit here in the church house the whole time today and all you do is tell yourself how bad you are, you look at your past and see how awful you are, that will keep you from getting the help that you need. He doesn't erase it. But you know what he does? What I've learned that he does? He rewrites the purpose of it. He rewrites the purpose of it. All those things that I did still have a purpose in my life. Would you have that? So I'm here today before you, church. I'm a man called to preach the gospel. Now, Clint Somerville of Adairsville, Georgia, I can't preach for nothing. But if the Lord passes by just for a little while, I'm able to get over in His hands. Those purposes He rewritten for my past can be a help unto you this morning. And let me let you know a little secret, church. You don't got to be no preacher. You ain't got to be no deacon. Your past can be a help to others if we'll let God work through them. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking about our past here. I'm talking about something that we can't change. There ain't nothing we can do. In that movie I was watching, he was talking about his past was hurtful and scary, and there was a little monkey in there, and the monkey hit him in the head with a stick. And it hurt, Randy. He said, "Ow! Why'd you do that?" That monkey said, "Don't matter. It's in the past. Can't do nothing about it now." No matter what's in your past today, I don't care if you got saved 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago. I don't care if you've still not been saved today. Your past does not determine your future this morning. If our past determined our future, we'd be doomed in a type of shape that we wouldn't be able to get ourselves out of. But because the way Jesus is, because of what God did in sending His only begotten Son to give us purpose, to give us a way out of this old thing, our past does not matter. We can't change it. You can't do anything about it. You know what you can do? You can learn from it. If you run from it, it ain't gonna do nothing but make it worse. But if you learn from the mistakes that you made, you can be a useful vessel to God this morning. I just ask you, church, I don't know anybody's heart, but I know I got friends and I got family members. And I'll be honest with you, their past conflicts them from doing the things they ought to be doing. A lot of them should be in church. You know what? They know they need to be in the church house. I had a dear friend text Abigail last night. She'd been on a struggle bus. I'm telling you, church, if there's been a struggle bus, she was on it for years now. And you know what? All it is her word. I don't know her heart, but she seems to be wanting to get on the right path. And she was giving Abigail all these answers about how I'm getting in the gym, I'm going back to school. And as Abigail was telling me these answers, I thought, yeah, that's all good and well. Those things are good and well. Then Abigail got down to the bottom of that message and she said, "I need to get back in church. I need to get my children in church." And that's when I knew if she'll get in that place, God can make a reverse in her life and put her back on the right path this morning. I'll be honest with you, it took her a little longer than I thought it should have for her to get right. She ain't right yet. But I think she's got the right thoughts going through her mind this morning. But you know what? What I've learned, you know what? I ain't no little young boy anymore. I'm not old, but I'm not young anymore. But you know, as I look at my children, I find myself praying every night, church. I pray that Whitley and Woma could get saved. You know what I've learned? It's not on Mama and Daddy's timing. It's not on our family's timing. It's on God's timing. And that time is going to count on you being where you need to be this morning. And that's even for the babies, church. Would you have it? Little Womack, 6-year-old. He asks and talks about getting saved, says he wants to get saved someday. That's all well and good. But until that little boy right there gets where he needs to be, he'll never get it today. He'll never get it today. Our friend that texted Abigail last night, until she truly gets where she needs to be, she won't get no help. That's what God and Jesus been to me. He's been a help to me. You know the worst things in life now? When I mess up and fail, yeah, I get consequences here and there in this fleshly world, but the worst part of it, Jesus will take my peace away just for a little while. And when I ain't got no peace in my life, I'm just fit to be tied. You can't talk to me. You can't expect me to answer nothing. I'm thinking about me, myself, and I, and then the Lord will humble me, and I'll realize, well, I'm the problem. I'm the reason my peace is gone. And just like that, he reapplies it to my life. There's a lot of people out there need help. This whole world needs Jesus. They do. But they got to find themselves in a place. You know, let's just be honest for a minute. I'm going to say something probably ain't real popular preaching. Everybody that we see in this world ain't going to find themselves in that place before it's too late. But you know what we can do as friends and family and brothers and sisters? We can put them in places where there's people in front of them that's living in such a way that it may be a light and a help unto them. There's an old bluegrass song that says, I want to live in a way so that my friends follow me. Amen. This is not a group project. I know I might be rambling, but he's giving it to me, Randy. This ain't no group project this morning. It ain't. It's not a group project. This is an individual relationship with Jesus. And you can pray with your friends. You can ask your friends to pray for you. You can know that the churches know to pray for you. But I'm here to believe if you ain't praying yourself, you ain't gonna get nothing you're looking and searching for this morning. Amen. Look at Paul. Let's look at Saul first. He wasn't no good man. He was holding coats while people were getting stoned. He was persecuting the church. He was given power by the world to do whatever he wanted to do and have reign over whoever he wanted to have reign over. What does the Bible tell us? There was a day in that man's life, he was walking down a road we call Damascus. What happened? It said scales covered his eyes. He was blind. You know the most powerful part of that? I don't even think it gets too deep in it when you read that story. When them scales were on his eyes, I believe he started seeing, Randy. When you find yourself in total darkness, you start seeing if you'd have it. You may not be able to see, but you can see. Would you have that? You ever been there, church, where you're just in total darkness in your life, total silence, darkness, and then you may not be able to think you can see, but you can see. Yeah. You may not think you can hear, but if you'll listen, you'll hear. There's a difference in seeing and seeing. There's a difference in hearing and listening this morning. He wasn't no good man. What happened? The Lord still saw fit to use him for the greater good. What I say, we had one study last Wednesday night. All things work together for the greater good. Amen. Even old Saul, even the life that he lived, God still used it. Yes, he did. Even David, when he sent Uriah to the front lines, God still used him. That was a man after God's own heart. And guess what? He still had a past, and God still seen fit to use him this morning. I was nervous about preaching this because you got to tread real lightly on these situations, on these kind of messages. Would you have it? I don't want to give anybody the idea you can use Jesus as a crutch. No. You can't use your salvation as a crutch this morning. There's a difference in making a mistake and realizing it and making a mistake knowing you're going to be okay anyway. Yeah. I don't know your hearts this morning. I know my past. And if I told everybody my past, my true, every aspect of my past, you probably wouldn't, but it'd be hard not to think a little different of me. But that's the thing, church. It don't matter what we did yesterday. You know why the Bible says today is a new day. I have been a new creature. I'm like Paul, I die daily, church. And if you do that today, if you're realizing no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what happened 2 years ago, you can still get the help from Jesus. You can still get that same salvation you see other people have. It don't matter what happened in your life. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter the circumstances you've been in. We don't have to talk about our past. We don't have to tell everybody what we've done. You know why? Because God already knows, and He's the only one that's got to know, and He's handled it. All we got to do is invite Him in, and He'll be with us forever this morning. Brother Randy, I believe that's all I got. We love y'all this morning. Y'all mean a great deal to us. Look, I told you, I was probably so nervous this morning coming here to preach because I knew I was preaching this, and I was preaching to myself. What'd I tell you? I want to be the man my baby see in me. You know, the truth is a lot of times I'm not that man. A lot of times I feel like I'm a long way from that person. But there's somebody down here that come into my heart one day. And I believe when they look at me, that's who they see. Somebody out there in the world, you know what? Somebody that's a little bit older, got some wisdom about them, even some fleshly wisdom of this world. They may look on me in a different light than they do. That's why it's so important for us to always be chasing that perfection we call Jesus this morning. Not worry about our past. Don't let our past affect what our now is. Our past is the past. What's now is what matters. We can't change the past, but I can change what I'm doing right now. I can. I could have woke up this morning and said, I ain't going to church today, Randy. I'm still weak. I don't think I can make it today. What would I would have told it a butt whooping if I'd have done that. I would have. I'd have sat in that house. I might have been comfortable for the first little while, but that bed would have got shorter. Them walls would have got closer. I'd have took my whooping. This is the thing I want to tell you this morning. You know what? All the things that preachers get up here and preach, the main thing that we need to relay to everybody that we know is Jesus loves you this morning, church. Jesus loves you with every ounce of being that He has. Yes, He does. He does. And all He wants to do this morning is help us. Yeah. He ain't expecting nothing from us. He don't expect us to give Him some great big thing. We ain't got to bring. You ever had something? You ever got some kind of reward where you didn't have to bring nothing to the table? That's what this is. I got salvation. I got the greatest thing that mankind has ever received. And the thing that I brought to the table, I should have had to pay Him to take it this morning. But you know what? I was bought with a price. I was bought with a price. You know what that tells me? He thought a lot of me. He did. He thought a lot of us, church, to send His only begotten Son. Didn't I tell you just a little while that, you know, I'd lay my life down for my babies, but I wouldn't lay their life down for you. I'm not sure that I could. And I love you. I'd do everything I could to help you, but that's where I'd probably draw the line. Now think about how much greater a love is on somebody that willingly did that. And you know what? It wasn't just on God. Think about Jesus. Jesus could have said at any time, get me out of here. You know what the best thing about that is about Jesus dying on the cross? The best thing is He could have got out of it, church. He could have. He could have. What did He do? That's one time in this world where somebody was thinking about the future. He wasn't thinking about right now. He wasn't thinking about all the bad things that he had been through the days prior. No. He was thinking about a day out in the future when we'd be sitting in this church house this morning. Somebody might be here and they might be broken. They may need to just pray to get a little bit of help. They may have a little hole in their heart that they need to get filled up. Well, Jesus can fill every void that we have in our life. Amen. You know why I know that He can do that? Because He willingly died on that cross for us. We ain't no different than that malefactor beside Him. There was two of them. One realized just where he was. He admitted it to Jesus, didn't he? And Jesus said, Today you will be with me in paradise. That's our life. We are one of those two malefactors, church. We're one of those two men on each side of Jesus. Either we're going to ask Him to help us and we're going to see Him for what He really is and we're going to see for what He really done and we're going to trust in it and we're going to have faith in it and we're going to love Him. And if you do that and you don't know Jesus today, I'm here to tell you that you can be in paradise today. There's other options. You can get up and go out of this church the same way you came in this morning. You can. And this ain't just for lost people. Sometimes we find ourselves in church and we're saved. But we just ain't right. You ever been that way? You ever been in the church house and you're saved? You know you've made preparations for your future, but something just ain't right. There's still something missing. That's the times that Jesus is talking to us, church. Jesus talked to us in different ways. It can be through feeling. It can be through somebody's testimony, a preacher's message, a prayer. If there's a void that you're feeling and something just ain't right this morning, come get it right. You can either sit there as can't get right or you can come get it right this morning. Brother Randy, I believe that's as far as I can go.